Yo, a special episode of Match Mat, because you know every episode of Match Mat is special. You feel me? But we have Danny from the Hot Box coming on. The Hot Box is a radio show on Falcon Radio that plays at BGSU on Wednesday nights. So please take a listen. She's hilarious. She's inspiring. She's dope. She's a boss. You know what I'm saying? So respect her and respect what she does. So here we go. Without further ado, it's the Hot Box episode. Oh, we were not in the Hot Box during this episode. In fact, we were actually at my house. So I feel weird because it's like we're not in the car right now, but we're here with the Hot Box. You know?
I feel you. I feel you. People say that all the time when they come on my show. They'd be like, "We supposed to be in a car," and I was like, "We in the radio station, like we in a studio."
So, Danny, what is the Hot Box?
So the Hot Box is my radio show on falconradio.org. It's each and every Wednesday night from 10 p.m. to midnight. And I typically have on. It's funny that you said you hate interviewing rappers because I typically interview rappers like and people in the music industry like on my show. But I interview people of different walks of faith, different walks of life, and different hobbies and just different opinions, different ideas. And I think that's what makes my show so special is that it's always gonna be something different every single week. Like,
that's so cool because I remember like you would have like an artist on this week, and then you would have like a student entrepreneur on another week. Because I remember then you had a personal trainer on like this week.
yeah, I just had B. Harris on. He's a personal trainer at Bowling Green. He also trains clients in Toledo. He actually just transferred to Toledo, so he'll be graduating from Toledo instead of BG Trader. Yeah, it was super dope. He gave a whole bunch of health tips. I know it's the beginning of the year, so like everybody is trying to do their New Year's resolutions and trying to get in the gym, but so that's why I pretty much did a personal fitness like first episode because it was the first episode of the year. And yeah, he gave a lot of tips, like some real good tips on fitness.
I wish I could have been on to listen to that because I didn't get a chance to. I was out and about. I forgot what type of bullshit I was doing. It's probably some school bullshit.
Probably
I
because mean, Wednesday nights is rough.
Like, Wednesday nights is rough. Like, I don't think niggas understand. Them bitches is rough, you know what I'm saying? But you need the Hot Box to really, like, chill out and even you out just in the middle of the week. It's like, it's literally a Hot Box, you know what I'm saying? You kick it in your car, you sit there, you like, damn, do I got some spray? You be like, okay, I'm gonna chill. And you end up chilling way longer than you
way
expected.
Longer.
But once you finish, you're so happy because I remember being on the Hot Box and I was just like, man, this is like the coolest shit ever. Like, I would have the little headphones. I'm like, this is my voice. Like, you know, like it's so dope. And like having y'all just like really give platforms to people is so important. Like, I remember like personally, you all gave me like my first like public platform, not even just the Hot Box, back when you was on Hump Night.
On Hump Night.
You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
With
Like,
Taylor.
yeah, I was so underground, you know, because I was just grinding and doing whatever. But then Taylor told me, you know what I'm saying, come on Hump Nights. And I was like, you know, I've listened to it from time to time. And she was like, come on. And so it was just like that, giving that platform. For me, that was something that was very important to me and made me realize that was something that I really wanted to do. So I don't know if you understood that you had that impact on my
That's
life.
Dope. That's dope. I'm glad that I was able to, that we, me and Taylor was able to do that for you. But I think that your first show on Hump Nights was like one of our best Hump Nights episodes. So I was like, yeah, I got to get Matt on the Hot Box when, like, when I start my own show because, like, our episode was like fun, like you real conversational. Like some people I interview don't be really conversational. I'll be like, you know that people can't see you right now. So like when you like moving your hand, like and talking to me, like it's just me. People can't see that. Like they listening through headphones or like through a speaker. And like people can't see your body language. They can only hear like the inflection in your voice and like the way you feel about things based on your voice. So like you like not flat toned at all. Like I got a lot of people that like when I'm editing my shows, I'm like, dang, they really sound bored in here. Like, why are you bored? Like you speaking about something that you do. Like I'm asking you about you. Like I'm literally interviewing you about you and like what you do. So how are you not like passionate and inspired? And like I think that was the best part about your show is was like when I was listening back to it, I was like, this dude sound like he like really happy where he at, like really working towards something.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know, like I just felt like good. Like I've always felt that way. You know what I'm saying? Like always made me feel like positive and happy, especially when I see you had came back with the Hot Box. I say, okay, Hot Box.
I was like, yes, Match Matt, need to get on the hot box.
That was so dope. But yeah, the hot box is basically like I interview a personal trainer. I think next week we're doing a DJ battle. I'm talking to Reezy, and then I don't know if you're familiar with Silk. But I'm talking to both of them about doing like my music breaks for next week's show, and then like have a DJ battle. I don't know if I want to do like a prize or like something to like for the winner and like how you would vote for that. But like I'm thinking about it. I work really fast, so like I'll probably have it like all together by tomorrow. But like I think I'm gonna do a DJ battle. I want to work with more entrepreneurs because a lot of people are willing to like give away their products for like promotion. Like, and I never would have thought that like that was a thing. But like I talked to one of my friends from Cleveland. Her name is Tisha. She has a Stranded in America brand, and it's like she does like T-shirts and with like graphic designs on them and stuff. And it's like the shit is dope. But, like, I was like, well, like, you can come on. She's like, I'll give away a shirt, like, on air. And I was like, oh, like, cool. Give away a shirt then. Like, I'm going to have her on this semester. I want to have Khadijah on from Crave Collection because, like, I love her shit. Like, I bought
these. She's so dope.
Ain't she so dope?
I swear, like, she gives you, like, such great advice. Like, I swear, like, we haven't had, like, a lot of conversations. But most of the conversations
Me and her neither. Like, we got a mutual friend. So, like, we like cool, but like not cool, cool, because we just have that mutual friend. But like, she's super dope. Like, every time I like encounter her, it's like great energy. And like, her products are dope. Like, I got these Onyx Africa earrings. They super dope. I went to California with them. I got like 25 compliments on these earrings in like one day. I was like, here's her card. Like, go order them because you like them. Go order them. So, I don't know. I want to have more student entrepreneurs because it's really like a dual platform, because people that buy your products because you on the show are going to listen to my show. And then my people that listen normally, like, because I have a lot of like active listeners that listen like every single week. Yeah. Like, they now want to buy your products because we talking about them on air. And like, I think me and B. Harris during our interview, he was saying like, yeah, like I was so geeked when you hit me up to be on the show, because I was like, yeah, like I got a lot of fans on like Instagram. We about to put the hot box on Instagram. Like, we went live for a minute. Like, it was just super dope to like expand with people, like with the community, like on BG's campus.
Yeah, and I don't think people understand how much power we have as like people with things to give, like entrepreneurs and like content creators and artists. Like, people really don't understand like that, like empowering one another is so important. Like, when you talked about when you went to LA and California, and you gave out your card and people complimented your earrings. Like, that part of it is so essential.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you just say, I got them from such and such, they're going to forget it. But if you give somebody a card, give them an Instagram photo, like you said, give them an interview, like something to listen to, then that interview not only explains the why, but you give them that physical copy, gives them, like, a chance to really reach out and, like, purchase that. So that's really, like, a mutually beneficial relationship.
Hell yeah.
Like, and that's, like, the wildest shit ever. Like, I was definitely talking about that with Q the Boy, Quentin McKinney. I was talking to him about that yesterday, about how important like mutual like beneficial relationships are, and that's like lifting or pulling while we climb. When he said that, I was like, you know, that's some real ass shit.
That because, is. Like,
we providing platforms for one another, and you know what I'm saying? Like, and because we're in like a place where everybody is like in the same type of area, but like now you have like, I have a good to offer. I have a service to offer. And now you like, I have a service to offer. So when we link together, I swear we're so much more powerful. Like, I feel like we can be as powerful as like an Ohio State or a Michigan State or a U of M.
Oh, for sure.
Certain things, but we just have to get that thing through our head.
That togetherness.
Like, you would think we're such a small town that we'd be able to connect.
But our community is really linked, though. Like, it really is linked, if you think about it.
For real, for real.
Like, it's really linked. Like, how I was like, oh, Khadijah, you was like, yeah, she dope. Like, that's how all my like encounters be. So, we really are linked. It just needs to be, like, a stronger bond. Like, I don't know. I be trying to explain to people how, like, a mutual benefit can work. Like, if you having an event and you, like, oh, can I come on the hot box and speak about your event? I'm like, yeah, let me give away a ticket, like, on air. Because now people that were already planning on going to your event are going to listen to my show because they want a free ticket, you know? Right. Like, it's a mutual beneficial relationship. And I think that's the best part about being able to connect with other students, is that I don't have time, like, I don't have money to pay you to come on your show, but you can come on my show, I come on your show, and that's a beneficial, relationship.
You know, it's a boost. Like, it's a boost. I'll be like, look, nigga, I am broke. Like, I'm not saying like I'm broke to the point I can't eat. I'm broke. You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah, like I don't have money to waste. I'm not saying it's a waste, but like I don't have money to spend on you coming on my show when like it's thousands of people that want to come on my show because I'm giving them this beneficial like dual relationship, like back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I interviewed this rapper from Toledo and he was like, my friend wanted to come on, but like he was trying to figure out like, was he getting paid for it? And I was like, I don't even know any of his music. Like, no, you're not getting paid to come on my show because I don't even like, I'm not booking you. Like, I don't even know none of your music. Like, you're not even popular enough for me to want to pay you. Like, I don't understand. Like, you thought you was about to get paid off a college radio show? I'm confused. I don't even get paid for this. Like, like, nigga, are you kidding me? Where am I getting this money from? Like, you expect me to pay you for this radio shit with my Chipotle money? Like, no. Yeah. No, nigga, no. Like, I was like, no. No, this is not going to happen. Like, but
I swear I feel you because I'm like, look. I can't give you a band, you know what I'm saying? Like, but what I can give you is a platform. What I can do is give the groundwork. Like,
yeah.
I may not be able to pay you top dollar, but I can guarantee you there's no nigga that's gonna work as hard as me to get you this opportunity.
Yep.
Or to at least like expand
I'm
gonna
put
like
it
what
out
we
here.
Have already. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be on the ground, I'm gonna be in class, I'm gonna be at your mama house, be at your mama job, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be passing out bowls of greens, like listen to the Match Matt. You might not like that.
Bowls of greens.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not playing bowls of greens. You know what I'm saying? I'm not playing with these niggas out here. So it's like really like giving something and giving something back like to one another. And that thing is like really like starting to build like community and relationships to the point where it's like, it's not just if you have money. It's if you have something that you can offer me that we can both make money from or we can both like reach something, reach some type of goal. But when I thought about that, I really thought like, have you ever had an instance where you felt like, damn, this is an interview I'm just, like, not fucking with? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. When I get to interviewing people who I'm, like, I don't want to say don't care about their opinion. But, like, all right, once I find out that somebody is, like, closed-minded in an interview, like, okay, for example, we did a Boys versus Girl or Battle of the Sexes interview. Last semester, it was, like, me, one of my friends, and then the men were the Kappas, right? So, like, we was going back and forth on, like, certain topics, and, like, one of them, I can't remember who it was because, like, my memory is so bad, like, with names and shit, but, like, one of them was like, oh, like, if you my bitch, you gotta go to, like, you can't work, like, and I was like, so you, like, want a broke bitch? Like, I'm confused. And then he was like, nah, like, I just want to be, like, the breadwinner and in control. And I'm just like, okay, I'm done talking to you. Like, I'm done talking to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, what's wrong
like,
with you
yeah,
niggas?
I'm done talking to you. Like, I'm done talking to you. So it's always good to have, like, more than one guest, like, on your show. Because if you're not fucking with one of them based off their, like, opinions and shit, or, like, based off the energy that they giving you, or, like, whatever it is that you, like, not fucking with that one person, they probably brought, like, two or three other people with them. So, like, it's easy to, like, just bounce off another person's ideas. Because that's what I typically do. Like, when the Kappas was in there, it was one of them that was, like, giving me, like, controlling, like, overbearing. Like, and I was just like, I'm gonna stop talking to you because I don't care about your opinion no more. Like, you already, like, way too far left for me. Like, you trying to control bitches out here. Yeah. Like, you trying to control bitches out here. And, like, I'm just trying to get everybody else's opinion except yours at this point. Because I already know, like, what you on. Like, and that's not what I'm with. So.
That's the difference between, like, private and, like, public communication sometimes. Like, especially when you're, like, on a crunch. Like, I have to have a show. Like, you have to have a show, like, every week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, I don't need to have a show every week.
Yep.
Like, I could drop a show once a fucking month and make it, like, 30 minutes to an hour. And it'd be, you know what I'm saying? It's whatever. You know what I'm saying? But now you have to, like, really, like, conform to that. Like, do you ever feel, like, because of that, it's hard for you to find decent content because you're getting content so frequently?
Well, I think, okay, so I only do my show once a week. And so that's, like, 14 or 15 Wednesdays out the semester, because typically I don't do finals week, and then, like, it'd be spring break and, like, other shit. But I try to plan my shows, like, 2 weeks in ahead so that I'm not, like, rushing to get content. And then, like, the day before, I'll get, like, current event content. So, like, what's going on? If I ever feel, like, the topics that I'm like bringing up are like repetitive or anything like that, I kind of like, I don't want to call them like discussion groups, but like me and my friends sit around, like we smoke and we like talk about shit. And like, we bring up topics that's like important to us, but like important to us as a whole, like as a community and like as an age group, as college students. So like, I don't really think because I'm on a time crunch that I'm rushing to find content. However, I do think that because I'm on a time crunch, I have like less time for people to waste my fucking time. Like, if I tell you like, I need you to be in the studio at 9:45 because like my show start at 10 and I want to like take a picture and like show prep a little bit in those 15 minutes. Like, I need you to be there at 9:45. And like, when you come there at 10:15, I'm already on air. Like, and I'm live, so I can't stop to let you in the studio. Like, you know, like, I think that that's the time crunch that like messes up like the content, is like people don't be on time, or like they act like, like when I'm not on time for your show, like I was supposed to be here at 7, I got here at 7:11, you was like, okay, cool, like we gonna push it back 10 minutes, like that's cool, but like I can't do that because I have to be on air at 10, and like I have to do a station ID, and I have to do like all of that at 10 o'clock, and if I'm not on at 10 o'clock, like my supervisor is like, Danny, you supposed to have a show from 10 to midnight. Like, why are you not in the studio when it's 10? You know? So, like, I think that's the biggest issue with having a time crunch. And another thing that's, like, a big issue with, like, being a public media instead of being, like, just on, like, SoundCloud or, like, just on, like, YouTube is, like, I can't say whatever the fuck I want to say, like, all the time. And, like, that's hard for me because I'm a say whatever the fuck I want to say type of person. So, like, sometimes in the studio, I'd be like, what the fuck? We're going to go to a music break because, like, I can't say what I want to say right now. Like, I'll see y'all in a minute. Like, we're going to go to a music break. But I think that's, like, the most difficult part of me being on, like, live, like, air all the time. It's like, I be wanting to cuss. I be wanting to say what I want to say. And, like, I be wanting to give my full opinions. Like, we had got talked to before about talking about politics on air, because I used to do that last semester big because of the Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, like, race. And I was like, they was like, we want to keep politics to a minimum. And I was like, y'all understand, like, this election is, like, big as fuck. And, like, people really talking about this. Like, we got to talk about this on air. And they was like, yeah, but, like, giving your opinions. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to be talking about politics because you're going to get my opinion. Like, so that's the, like, roughest area with, like, being live on air and, like, being in an open media set, like, section.
And I can see that as being frustrating at some time.
Hell yeah. Like, if somebody be, if you be like, well, I want to say, like, fuck these bitches, or, like, whatever it is that you want to say on air, like, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't. And, like, you will get in trouble if you do say that. Like, they'll be like, Matt, we heard you say bitch 17 times on air between 9 and 10. Like, what's going on? You know, like, that's how it is, though. And, like, being that I just took over this semester as general manager of Falcon Radio. So, like, I kind of, like, got to do air checks and shit. So, like, the other day I was listening to the Takeover. It's, like, Chris and Gerard and all them, like, podcast. Like, yeah, well, they do that show on Sunday nights on Falcon Radio. And so, like, the one night I was like, oh, like, let me do an air check, make sure that their content is, like, acceptable or whatever. So, like, I had, like, listened in, and Chris was like, some, because I don't give a, like, he was about to say, I don't give a fuck, but, like, he had to, like, carry himself. And I was like, I catch myself doing that so much, like, trying not to cuss when, like, I really need to cuss to get my point across. Mm-hmm. Like, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel that shit. That's why when I was sitting there, I was like, damn, should I go DJ at Falcon Radio, or should I, you know what I'm saying, just start the podcast? And I was like, well, all my favorite people is podcasters, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I listen to podcasts all the time, you know, like, and I'm a big radio fan. Like, I was listening to The Breakfast Club when The Breakfast Club just came out, you know what I'm saying? Like, before Ray J, my nigga. Like, before Ray J called in and was talking about the Booty Goons and talking about Fab, like, I was definitely listening to The Breakfast Club. Like, I was listening to Ricky Smiley. Like,
oh, yeah, I've been listening to Ricky Smiley for a minute, even though he, like, sometimes corny. Mm-hmm. Like, but I used to listen to Michael Bazin. Like, when I was growing up, like, I listened to Michael Bay's then. When I was listening to Michael Bay's then, I was like, I used to be in the car with my dad, like, bro, I want to do this. Like, this is what I want to do. Like, Michael Bay's then, like, Tom Joyner, like, this is what I want to do. Like, this right here. Yeah. Like, this is what I want to do. When I was, like, 7, like, 8 years old, I was like, I want to be Michael Bay's then. Like, on the radio, like, talking to people, interviewing people. I was like, that shit is dope. Like, that's what I want to do. And, yeah, I just always knew that, like, at an early age. I was like, yeah, I want to be a radio. Like, I want to be nationally syndicated. Like, that's what I want to do. And then when we got into our first season of Hump Nights, it was like Falcon Radio was just on, like, just on the internet. And they was like, oh, like, y'all can cuss. Y'all can say whatever the fuck. Like, you can do whatever the fuck. Yeah, and I was like, oh, bet. Like, this is for me. And then, like, this last semester when I first started the Hot Box, they started us on HD2. So, like, you can hear us on HD radio, and we can't cuss no more.
Look at those changes. Look at those changes.
So, like, yeah, it do give us a bigger platform, I guess. But, like, who in Bowling Green really got HD radio, though? Like, because I don't. And I think, like, I got one of the nicest cars driving around BG, and, like, I don't have no HD radio in my car, so.
I fucking feel you. Because sometimes I wish I had that platform, you know what I'm saying? So I can reach people faster.
Yeah. But
it's all about patience for real. And letting your career and yourself unfold, you know. A lot of times we don't give ourselves, like, time, you know. Like, we get real, like, impatient with ourselves and impatient of where we at. Like, if I can cuss on the radio, maybe I just can't cuss on the radio right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I can do a podcast side by side, you know. Like, developing content, in my opinion, is, like, one of the most important things, like, fucking ever. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like, people who create really just drive everything. Like, this level of, like, innovation for us to, like, reach new people, like, through our voices. Like, we don't have to literally reach through the screen. We just put our voices out there and people find, like, what we're talking about to be.
And
like,
listen to it.
Yeah, like, habitually.
Yeah, like, oh, my God. Like, it's so, like, empowering to, like, walk in a room and somebody be like, Danny, I heard you, like, I listen to your radio show, like, and I'll be like, oh, my God, for real? Like, because with Falcon Radio, it's no way to, like, monitor how many listeners you got. And, like, unless they interactive with, like, Twitter, Instagram, like, you don't really know who listening to you, honestly. And, like, I get a lot of interactions. Like, I think my show and, like, The Takeover get, like, the most interactions of, like, students and shit. Will the Space Kid also have a show that, like, get a lot of interactions. But, like, as far as the number of you, like, listeners that I have, like, I think I have one of the highest, like, listen to stations on fucking radio. And, like, so, like, I don't be knowing when, like, my friends are listening with their friends. So, like, my best friend had a party, like, on December 28th. And, like, I walked in, they was like, hey, like, you be on the radio. And I was like, what? Like, who knows me in here? Like, what the fuck? Like, I was looking like, okay, like, cool. Like, that's dope. Like, all right, y'all know me from the radio. Cool. Like, it's just, like, a great feeling for somebody to, like, know you from, like, what you do. Like, yeah. You know? Like, people be knowing people for, oh, dumb shit. Like, oh, yeah, that's the girl that work at Chipotle. Like, no. Like, I'm so much more than that. Like.
Yeah, like, that's really, like, people really start to see, like, a more layered you. And, like, they see, like, okay, I also work at Chipotle, but I'm also doing this great radio show, and I'm also a student, and I'm also a great person. Like, they're seeing, like, these different parts of you, and they start to really, like, start to get attracted to you and whatever you do. Like, and I think that's the most amazing thing, like, the amazing feeling that somebody, like, attracted to you, and not just to the way of, like, oh, I think you're attractive physically or aesthetically, but, like, attractive to the point where, like, whatever you do is something that I take interest and value in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody finds value in what you find valuable. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone sees your passion as something that's just, like, amazing and wonderful. Like, that shit is so dope to me. Like, when people come up to me, it was like, I remember I was in fucking Walmart, and I'm sorry, AD. Adavius, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But we was in Walmart, and I was buying soul food ingredients, but I was making macaroni and cheese and, like, sweet potatoes and shit. And, like, I see AD, like, way down there. And this nigga go, house husband, I'm at Walmart. Like, know, damn. Like,
that's me.
I'm like, you know, 2K16 right. to the world. So you know what I'm saying? But it made me feel cool, you know what I'm saying? Because that, like, that was one of my niggas. You know what I'm saying? That's one of my niggas. Somebody that I fuck with.
Yeah.
And so somebody was like, really, like, damn, like, you an ill ass nigga, you do ill ass shit to the point where I'ma call you by your shit.
Yep.
By your hashtag or by your, you know, by that name that you wanna go by. Like, when a nigga call me Match Matt, I say, bitch, you damn right.
That's
right.
Funny. That's your name in my phone. Match Matt. I'm weak. You're so happy.
Hey. That's shit funny. Mean everything to me. Cause I remember Red Man said the thing that pissed him off the most when people call him Reggie instead of Red Man.
Mm.
And I was thinking, like,
because you branded yourself.
Yeah, like, you worked hard for yep. that name. Like, that name is so important. Like say the fucking name. And I,
say the fucking name.
And it was one thing that I wanted to ask you about as far as, like, interviewing people. Do you have any, like, dream interviews?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Like, I got a couple. Well, I'm a big Drake fan. I think everybody, if you know me, you know that. Like, I'm a huge Drake fan. So, like, I do want to interview Drake one day. But, like, early, like, before that, I think I want to interview Yo Gotti. Like, I definitely want to interview Yo Gotti, like, extremely bad. Like, I'm not only an extremely big fan of, like, his music, but, like, his personality is so, like, down to earth. Like, if you watch his interviews, like, he's so down. Like, he just be like, shit, I'm just trying to pave the way for my niggas. Like, and that shit is just so, like, he's so humble. Like, he's such a humble individual. I definitely want to interview Yo Gotti. That's, like, my number one. Like, when I first get on, I'm be like, y'all got to get Yo Gotti in the studio right now. Like, they're going to be like, he hasn't made a song in 3. And I'm be like, I don't give a fuck about none of that. Like, I need to interview him as soon as possible. I'm trying to think of another interview that I'm, like, real geek to do. But, like, Drake and Yo Gotti, like, and I want to interview Charlamagne because.
Yes, that nigga is a, nobody understands how important this nigga is to niggas like us. Like, this nigga is amazing. Like, no matter how what bullshit he's
saying. He's an idol. He my idol, bro, for real.
Bro, he's great.
He's for real my idol.
Did,
like,
you watch State of the Union?
Yes.
I swear, he's been watching that shit all the time. That's why I got this shit, bro.
He's really, like, my idol for real. Like, I love Charlamagne. Like, he's so just dope and, like, confident in his own, like, self. Like, I love that. Like, being confident in your own self. Like, not giving a fuck what nobody got to say about what you saying, because that's how you really feel. And, like, you stand behind that. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that, like, Charlamagne, like, I don't want to say put in my head, but, like, made me understand that, like, if you confident in what you saying because you really believe that shit, then it means so much more. Like, it means so much more when you speak with, like, confidence. Like, you really believe that shit. Like, that's really what I wanted to say to that person at that time. That's really what I needed to know. Like, the questions that he asked just be so straightforward. Like, I really need to know. Like, I think the first, like, craziest fuck question I ever heard, like, him ask was, like, during the Stevie J and Jocelyn episode. He was like, so who pussy is better, Jocelyn or... And I was like, oh, this nigga is a fool. I was like, oh, this nigga is wild. Like, he really just... And Jocelyn in the studio, like, what you gonna say, Stevie? Like, you know, like, she was in the studio, like, so... And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, he asked that hard question. Like, how do you answer a question like that? Like, he... Questions that need answers, that's Charlamagne. Like, he asks questions that need answers.
The nigga is perfect. Like... The nigga is amazing, bro. I remember used to watch his shit. I used to be like, bro, what is this nigga? Like, I was like, look. I used to listen, you know, the Brilliant Idiots podcast?
Yep.
I used to listen to the Brilliant Idiots until I got way too busy to sit and listen for so long. And Andrew Schultz got on my nerves. But, you know what I'm saying? I used to listen to the Brilliant Idiots, like, all the fucking time, like, consistently. Just to, like, hear what Charlamagne was about to say. Even if I agree or disagree with it, I wanted to hear what the motherfucker had to say.
Oh, for sure.
I can't wait to grab the book.
Oh, I'm definitely grab. I pre-ordered it off Amazon. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted me. When I tweeted him, I was like, I just ordered Charlamagne's book. He was like, it's going to be a good read. I was like, yes. I also love when famous people tweet me. Like, when famous people, like, retweet you or, like, at quote tweet you, like, you just be like, oh, you know me now. Like, I know you now. Like, Charlamagne tweeted me. I was like, oh, we friends now. Like, that's my nigga now. Like, we cool. Like, my friend bought DJ Khaled book, and she tweeted, like, oh, this boy just bought me DJ Khaled's book for Christmas for like our office party or whatever, and he like tweeted her back like, "Enjoy, don't ever play yourself," or some shit like that. And I was like, this nigga DJ Khaled just tweeted my friend, like, that shit was crazy. That shit is crazy. Like, I'm trying to think, like, of all the famous people that retweeted me, Charlamagne's was definitely like the one that I was like, oh, I gotta say this. Like, Godfrey, the comedian, like, he followed me on Twitter. Like, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why is this nigga following me on Twitter? Like, I'm not famous, but that was raw as fuck. I'm trying to, oh, Faison Love, I met him because I interned at Hot 97.3 and he came in for an interview. And, like, he followed me on Instagram and I was like, cool. Like, you know me now. You know?
That shit is so dope.
Like, you know me.
I remember Dr. Lamont Hill fucking retweeted my shit and favorited one of my tweets. Because I know I be saying some wild shit.
This is some wild shit, off the wall shit.
By the way, Charlamagne, let me make this clear. Charlamagne the guy gave me the strongest confidence in me to talk about eating ass. Because I remember I got exposed to eating ass at a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I need to hear this story.
So I had told my niggas once that I, you know, slipped up and put my tongue in some asshole. You know what I'm
saying? You slipped up and did it.
Yeah, my eyes
was closed. It was a slip up.
My eyes was closed and I was looking down. I thought I was being sexy and shit. You know what I'm saying?
But it was a slip up.
But it was a slip up. I was like, oh, my eyes. I was like, you know what I'm saying? Because Shorty had asked me to eat an ass before. And I, you know, was like, nah, I'm not really rocking with that. You know, I brush my teeth twice a day and shit.
I brush my teeth.
But, you know, once I put my tongue in her asshole, you know, I got up and left, you know, and I thought to myself, I said, damn, I mean, there's really no going back from here, you know.
So you just eat ass now, so yeah, you was like.
Bro, I said, you know, my tongue's already in the asshole, so, you know, I started eating ass ever since, and I've been 6 years strong. You know, but Charlamagne said, you know, talking about eating ass, that being affirming who you are is, like, extremely, extremely important. I remember Dr. Mark Lamont Hill tweeting my shit, and that meant so much to me because it's, like,
it was like about eating ass?
No.
Oh, I was like,
hey, that'd be wild. Whoa. That'd be some wild shit.
Whoa.
That'd be some wild shit.
Whoa, the tweet was about his book. Okay.
I had bought his book about nobody and the issues that's going on in Ferguson and also the water crisis in Flint. And so I remember he, like, retweeted my shit. And I was like, damn, that shit is live. You know what I'm saying? Like, told him to enjoy it. I told him, you know, I was like, man, Semester beat my ass. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to read this shit. You know, he favorited my shit.
Yeah.
So that shit was, like, cool to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not even because, like, a celebrity reached out to you. It's somebody whose work you respect. You know what I'm saying?
Acknowledge the fact.
That, you know, acknowledge you.
You exist.
You know what I'm saying? And that's some crazy shit. And niggas would be like, oh, y'all fan. You know, y'all crazy fans. Blah, blah, blah. Like, Tax recently said some shit. You know, to me recently when I was asking, you know, about what type of juicer he get. Because, you know that nigga be juicing.
Uh-huh.
And I really like juice. You know, I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Like, I eat kale, like, raw. Like, I don't play no fucking games. So, I was like, shit, he told me the Vitamix juicer. I said, nigga, I'm going to get that bitch once I get this W-2.
For real, Vitamix got like raw shit. Like, we got a Vitamix blender at work, and like that bitch is like the real deal. Like, it's not no Black and Decker. Like, it's the real fucking deal. Like, I mean, like, a Vitamix blender will cut your shit up like instantly. Like, you will have a smoothie in like under 25 seconds. Like, that bitch is like real. And like, you know how like blenders, you use them like 15, you use them like 35 times and then they like stop really blending shit all the way. You gotta like add shit slower and like, no, that Vitamix blender been working since I've like been at like a year solid. It's been working like solid. And I'll be like, damn, we use this bitch like 3 times a day. You know what I'm saying? Like, we make vinaigrette like 3 times a day. How the fuck is this Vitamix still like going? Be rocking.
I need that shit.
Yeah.
You know who else who followed me who wouldn't believe? Jay Electronica followed
me. Oh, for real?
On Twitter, because I used to be a 5%er. And so, like, I told him, you know, I was like, you know,
that's
peace.
Dope.
I was like, peace, God. You know, I just got my knowledge, you know, I just got sparked. And he followed me back, and I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that shit kind of raw.
That's crazy.
That shit crazy. Yeah. I mean, I know I didn't stay too low-key. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, around the city. You know, I don't know exactly what he said. I don't know he's in the city, but, you know, this shit is, like, cool when people, like, acknowledge you, you know what I'm saying? Especially when you have, like, that relating point. That's just, like, so fucking dope. Like, that's so fucking dope. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, Terrence J. People don't understand how, like, much of a role model Terrence J has been for me. Like, That nigga is so cool.
That's a cool role model to have, though. You like Terrence J. Nah, I've never read his book. I've never been that big of a Terrence J. fan. Not like hating on him or nothing like that. I just never thought to be a fan of Terrence J. Like, you know, like I wasn't attracted to his personality. Like, off.
It wasn't his personality, cause like number one, Terrence J. might not be you, Terrence J. for some reason. Because I believe that about all people. You know what I'm saying? And so like, his work ethic was like the craziest shit. Like people like us who make content, we have to work. We have to work, especially in like media, which is like an ever-changing field. Like you have to go from like I can be good on here, but I can also be good on television.
Yep.
You know, I can be also good on internet. You know, I know how to run social media. You know, how did you find a way to balance that when you already had that medium of radio? Like, how are you finding a way to balance internet, or are you looking into like TV in the future?
Well, so my best friend Sierra, she's a graduate student at DePaul. And she's going for video production or whatever. She graduated from BG with a TCOM degree in video production. And she want to do a like web series, like a show. And she want me to host one of the segments on there. And I was like, on TV? Like, you want me to be like in front of a camera? Like, and she was like, yeah, like, I think you would be great at it. I was like in front of a camera? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm weary to get in front of a camera. Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't think I'm ugly, my self-esteem not low, it's nothing like that. I just think that I'm not a TV person. I think I'm a radio person, you know? Like, I think I'm a radio person. But I did host a couple shows last school year. And I never thought that I would be like a host, like in front of people, like a host type of person, because I'm like not nervous to talk in front of people at all. Like, I'm public speaking, like I've been presidents of orgs, and like public speaking has always been like A1 for me. Like, I've been good at that. But like to host like an event, like I hosted the Big Cypher with Chris last year, and like I was like, damn, like I really like kind of did a good job at that. Like, people was coming up to me like, oh my god, I didn't know you hosted stuff. And I was like, I fucking don't. Like, somebody asked me this like last minute, I was like, I fucking don't. Like, and like I had tried out, and it was like three other people, and like they picked me, and I was like, wow, like I'm honored. Thanks, like that's cool. And then that was like a hip hop show, so it was like I was real comfortable doing that. But then I hosted the Image Awards, the NAACP Image Awards with Taylor last year, and like that was like a formal event. And I was like, I don't know. But we did like amazing. And like people was like coming up to me like, are you thinking about hosting this and that? And I was like, no, like I'm not thinking about hosting shit. Like, I was like, Taylor asked me to do this. Like, this was a friend, like this was a favor for a friend. Like, you know, so it was like, I don't know if I'm like down for like hosting things, but like I'm kind of good at it. Mm. So I don't know. I typically am good at things that I try to do, but like, I didn't think I was going to be that great at hosting. And I was like, I like really surprised myself at how good I was at that. Enough that my friend was like, yeah, I want you to host this like segment of my show. And I was like, for real? Like on TV, like y'all going to record it and like put it somewhere? And she was like, yeah, like we going to try to pitch it to like Hulu and Netflix. And I was like, oh shit, like that's a big project, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, hopefully I'll be able to work on that. That sounds like exciting to me. I'm down to try new things. So, you know.
I'm excited for you. I know you do well, like, no matter what medium you get on.
Thank you.
Like, you attract positive people to your area and your space, and people want to be around you because they feel, like, positive when they're around you. You know what I'm saying? And it's genuine. Like, a lot of people, you don't feel authentic things from people. You know what I'm saying? You can feel when it's, like, real and it's fake, because, like, you just, sometimes somebody says some fake shit.
And you be like, oh, that was... You put that stank face on, like,
I'll be like, till a nigga gets feed.
You gotta put that fake, like, that was, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I don't know. I think I'm just myself all the time, and that's why I just come off real, because I'm, like, really like this on a daily basis. Like, when I'm on my radio show, I'm like this, having this same type of conversation, like, you know. When I'm at work at Chipotle, I'm having these same type of conversations. Like, I'm the same, like, person through and through. And I think that's what, like, I don't know. People put on an act to, like, be somebody that they not. And, like, that's not what I ever want to do. So, like, I don't know. Just being myself has worked for me so far.
Yeah, that's the shit. Because eventually yourself gonna reveal itself. You know? Yeah. Like,
Yeah, you be seeing these Disney stars coming out, and they really like alcoholics and like cokeheads and shit. And you be like, "What, Miley Cyrus? Like Hannah Montana?
She
like,
puts cocaine up her asshole? I can't believe
it." Yeah, like you be like, "Damn, my nieces was watching her. Like, what the fuck? Like,
the hoe was on some fucking heroin the whole time."
Yeah, like the Weeknd dating Selena Gomez now. Like that shit weird as fuck. Like. The Weeknd is like low key a like sex symbol. Like he makes sex music, and then like Selena Gomez is
sex music.
Yeah, and like Selena Gomez is like a kid. Like you know what I'm like she grown, but like
that little Quasar got some power.
I'm with. They was talking about her on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, and they was talking about how like she dated a whole bunch of people, and I was just like, but she a kid. Like I was just I can't separate like Disney stars from like. Disney star, cause like, I think you should be that person. Like you portray that person. That's the person you need to like, kind of live up to that. Like at least a little bit. Like you can't be on Disney Channel and then like snorting coke in the bathroom. Like that's kind of wild as fuck. Like you on kids TV. Like now you on the news. Like what the fuck? Like you know that shit like don't read to me at all. Like I don't want to be that person. Like I don't want to be that person.
You know who is scary like that with? Will Smith. Because Will Smith low-key seems like every person he's ever played in every movie or television. Like, and it's the scariest shit. Like, who are you,
Willard? Who are you really?
Because his name isn't really? William. Is Willard.
Like, who really are you? Like, are you the Fresh Prince? Or are you, like, fucking Hitch? Like...
Who are you?
Who are you for real?
They said that nigga Jada was like, nah, you know you Fresh Prince nigga, blah, blah, blah. He was like, no, this Big Willie, baby. I said, this nigga Will!
Yeah.
I said, this
like,
nigga
Will!
Will
Smith is like, yeah.
This nigga Will not playing with him, bro. I would love, that's one of my dream interviews. I want to
interview Will Smith.
Will Smith, Oprah, of fucking course.
You love Oprah.
I love Oprah. You know what I'm saying? I want to interview Rick Ross. Rick Ross is one of my favorite people, like, ever. Mm-hmm. I want to interview everybody who was on death row.
Are you, when you, Kim. When you interview Rick Ross, are you going to ask him about putting Molly all in her drink?
Yep.
And she ain't even know it?
You think I won't? Shit.
I'm just asking, because, like, I know you like a fan of Rick Ross. So, like, are you going to ask difficult questions?
Oh, yeah, you fucking right.
That's right. Respectable.
Because Oprah would do it. WWOD. What would Oprah do? Oprah would ask. So therefore, just in the spirit of Oprah Winfrey, aka Jesus' sister, that they never really claimed all the taxes yet. You know what I'm saying? But we all know.
Hey, Oprah is not Jesus' sister.
Yo, son, I swear Oprah is like holy, bro. I swear I'm gonna saw Oprah walk on water. She gave out gifts and she just stepped on water and walked away. It was like,
oh my God.
You get a blessing and you get a blessing and you get a blessing. And she turned around. You know what I'm saying?
This is blasphemy.
She has statement hold the purse.
This is blasphemy.
She got on water. It was all you hear is, damn. I forgot. I may have fucked up. Hey, did he come fur or man's?
I'm weak. Oprah do not walk on water. You tripping. I do fuck with Oprah though. I used to watch the Oprah show when I was a kid, like all the time.
I ain't even watch that shit, bro.
For real?
I seen the Boondocks episode, which proved to me how much power Oprah had. When he said, so you mean control over Oprah mean control over bitches? And I said,
oh my God.
I said,
because that's real life. You don't understand. Like, Oprah is an icon.
Like, people cry over Oprah. Like,
yep.
When people start crying and passing out over you, like they pass out over Michael Jackson. You
Prince.
Know what I'm saying? They do that shit over Chris Brown. Like, I remember somebody told me they went to a Chris Brown concert and they said there were ambulances rolled up to the back for women passing out for Chris Brown. Literally. These R&B shows are nothing to fuck with.
Hey, I went to a Trey Songz and Chris Brown concert. Like,
between the sheets? Shit.
No, I went to it 2 weeks ago in Chicago. No, in Chicago. The one in Chicago. I didn't go to the big show at the Jarl. I have never been to Detroit before ever in my life. Yeah, that's crazy, huh?
Pull up.
Pull up. Never been to Detroit. Never been to
go
Detroit.
Go on, do it. When that nigga Trey Songz dropped the first AR remix, I'm gonna go crazy, bro, because That nigga looked in that bitch. He had to smile like, I'm gonna get out.
He talked about him getting arrested at Chicago because he got arrested in Detroit and like the Chicago show was like 2 days later. I actually went viral on Twitter because of this tweet I had made about Trey Songz. I'm like, yeah, I see you got arrested, but like, is you gonna be at the show in Chicago? Cause like I paid for them tickets already. And like I was like on the, what is it called? The Moments page. Mm-hmm. My friend was like, dude, you on the Moments page? I was like, for real? Me? Ooh. Like I was like, me? But but yeah, it was Trey Songz, Chris Brown, Young Thug, Dreezy. Mm. Yeah, that's her name, Dreezy. Lil Yachty. Oh, Designer. Hey, you ever seen Designer perform like in real life?
He seemed like a live ass performer.
Like he just don't speak English.
Word.
Like he don't speak English at all. Like he don't rap his lyrics. Like he just run around the stage dabbing like super hard and like moaning and like growling and like dabbing. Like a lot. And like throwing water over himself. Like,
I gotta go to the one. I gotta go to the one.
Like remind me to show you the video, like, cause I took a little video of him because it was like crazy, like he really is like a hype ass performer, but like you don't really know what he's saying at all. Like he don't speak English at all. He even was like, "Can y'all cut my music so I can go a cappella?" And we was like, "Okay." And he was still like, "Not like you couldn't understand it at all." And it was like no music. The crowd was quiet because we was all like, "What are you really saying, my nigga? Like what is it? You know?" Like everybody was quiet. Like, and it still was not understandable at all.
See, that's what I like the difference between our platform and like rappers or like singers' platforms, because like for rappers, you can get a hit song and then instantly, boom, you get a deal, you about to go on tour, you got a promotions tour, you got radio interviews, but you not trained for all that shit because you just popped out the womb. You were fresh out the pussy rapper.
You can't perform in front of thousands of people. Like, we went to the show at the Bulls Stadium. Like, this nigga Designer should not have been on that stage. Like, at all. Like, it was no way he was not ready for that performance. Like, he not even able to, like, perform his own, like, songs and sound, like, okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ever seen a new, like, R&B girl performance and she try to, like, sing and dance at the same time? Mm-hmm. And you be like, bitch, you out of breath because you don't practice. You ain't do this. Like, you don't do this all the time. Like, Dreezy, she was, like, out of breath as fuck on stage because she had a whole, like, choreography to, like, her shit, which was, like, her choreography was dope, but, like, bitch, you tired because this not something you do every day. Like, that's not what you practice. Like, you been to a Beyonce concert, that bitch gonna sing and dance the whole time, never be out of breath. She hardly sweating, like, you know what I'm saying? Because she do that shit day in and day the fuck out. So, like, when she get on stage, she's like, shit, I just did this shit, like, backstage, like, 17 times before I came out here. Like, she do that shit every single day. Like, new artists don't be, like, they haven't cultivated their craft yet, and they don't understand it. And, like, when you try to put a new artist on a big platform and they not ready, it, like, can kind of be their downfall. Because, like, I'm never going to listen to a Designer song ever again. Like, I'm not a fan. He can't even rap. Like, I don't care for him at all. Like, I feel like he wasted 25 minutes of my time during his performance. Like, I didn't enjoy it at all. Like, it was like, I was like, is this nigga serious right now? Like, is this real life? Like, it was like a joke. Like, it was like a joke.
See, but we gotta really make shit appealing. Like, we have to appeal to our audiences. We have to make, like, great, like, concepts for our shows, get great people, get great interviews, like, consistently. So, like, when people like us reach whatever forefront we have, we already, like, trimmed to the T because we had to put the work in. We've been doing this shit. We got portfolios, nigga.
I'm saying.
Man.
Like, I got a portfolio. Like, my resume look excellent. So, I know when I apply for, like, a position that I really want when I come out of college, I'm probably going to get it because I got so much, like, experience because I've really been doing this shit since my, like, sophomore year. Like, I've really been in the studio, like, recording, like, really editing audio, like, really doing that shit. And I don't know. Like, that's exactly the, like, difference between our platform and rapper's platform because they don't be doing that. They come out with a hit. They've been rapping for 30 days. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Don't remember the words of their song.
They read this shit off of paper. Like, they ain't even write it. Like, they probably ain't even write the hook. You know what I'm saying? Like, the catchiest part of the song, they ain't even write that. Like,
look at these niggas. Look at y'all niggas.
Yep, for real. That's how it be.
Y'all niggas knew better.
That's how it be. I always make rappers that come on my show freestyle because...
You a dickhead. I didn't know niggas hit me freestyle.
Because, like, are you a rapper or not? Like, are you a rapper or not? Like, I want to know. So, we about to put on a beat, you know, freestyle, something. I'm going to give you a commercial break and we back at it. Like, take you 3 minutes because you about to go. And I'm putting you on the spot, so...
It happens. Niggas get exposed, like... Niggas got exposed low-key when niggas do ciphers. Niggas get exposed for who is a nigga who can write or who a nigga who can actually rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas get exposed all the time.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you would even see it on, like, Hot 97 interviews and shit with, like, Lil Yachty refusing to, like... I think he refused to freestyle that one time. And I was like...
He was like, I'm not a freestyler.
And I was like,
you not a fucking rapper. Like, you can't freestyle. Yeah, you can't freestyle. You not a rapper. So, like, don't try to use that title because you not a fucking rapper if you can't freestyle. Period.
Just
because
you block over beats with bass don't make you a rapper.
Like, yep.
It don't, like, it don't. And I love these young niggas. All these little colorful haired ass. Jumping around.
I'm weak. I'm bullshit. Like everybody. I'm not that into Lil Yachty because, like I said, I went to see him perform and he kind of like stood on stage and raps like in one spot. And I was like, is this a performance or like a high school talent show? Because like I'm kind of confused. But like I seen Lil Uzi perform. That nigga was lit as fuck.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah. That little nigga
is like into his shit. Like he comfortable. Like he in his shit. Like he been doing that shit for a little while. Like, he did great. Like, I seen him perform at Magnificent Coloring Day. Like, he opened for, like, Chance and them. And it was, like, real amazing. Like, I was so happy that I got there, like, right before Lil Uzi went on. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, we about to watch Lil Uzi. He was live as fuck. He was live. And I was like, okay.
You know who I really felt that way about? I saw Kendrick Lamar open up for Kanye West.
Oh, wow. Tour.
And when I tell you.
Oh, you blessed.
I was blessed because it was the wildest shit that ever happened to me. Like, Kendrick was performing and I forgot about Kanye coming on later.
Wow.
Like, because you could feel like how genuine like the energy was. He had the live band and everything. And I was like, bro, this nigga Kendrick is good. Like, he's good and he just keeps getting better. Like, see this nigga performing on stage with Beyonce? That's some wild shit. Like, when you think about it, the nigga been out, but that nigga ain't been, like, out for a while.
Out, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As long as Beyonce did, for Beyonce to put this nigga on, these niggas do the blackest show on a fucking
on
planet.
On the planet.
Like,
that shit was wild.
When I had freedom, I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
That shit was crazy. I'm like, Cornrow Kenny, nigga. What the fuck is this?
Hey, that was lit. Like, Kendrick Lamar lit, though, for sure. Man. And you lucky for going to a Kanye concert, but, like, I seen a Kanye concert for, like, free. I mean, I didn't go to that free concert, but, like, we went to Magnificent Coloring Day. And, like, Tyler, the Creator was, like, on stage performing. Like, I'm not a Tyler, the Creator fan per se, but, like, my best friend Sierra, big Tyler, the Creator fan. And, like, she was having fun, so, like, I was having fun with her because she was, like, turnt as fuck. Yeah. And I was like, oh, bad. Like, he raw. Like, he cool. I don't really know that much of his music, but, like, his performance was lit. Like, all of a sudden, they cut this nigga music. And, like, he was looking around like, what the fuck? Like, I got 12 more minutes. Like, you know, like, he was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, you could tell that it was, like, something, like, off. And I was like, okay, this is weird. But, like, she was still in her, like, oh, Tyler, like, turned up. And I was just like, this is fucking weird. Like, what's going on? And, like, then they start playing Ultralight Beam. And I was like, oh, I walked Kanye, like, laughing because, like, Kanye not supposed to be at this show. And then this nigga Kanye came out. And I was like,
what the fuck?
I was like, bro, what? Like, I literally started crying. Like, and I'm not even that much of a Kanye West fan. But it's just like, he, like, Kanye West is like, low-key a god. Like, I was like,
low-key and nobody. This nigga is like the Michael Jackson of the rap game.
Like, I was like, I literally started crying. Like, I teared up a little bit. Like, I can't believe we seen Kanye West for like, Like, and he did a whole set. Like, Chance came out, and we was like, what? Chance not supposed to perform till 8 o'clock? Like, what is this nigga doing on stage right now? And it was, like, crazy. Like, we was like, what the fuck? And then, like, Kanye went off stage, and then Chance was like, I'm gonna be back later, y'all. And we was like, what the fuck? Like, mind blown. Like, we just seen Kanye West for, like, the $40 admission price that we paid to see Chance. Like, we paid to see Chance, you know?
Yay. Kanye West is one of the greatest performers. I've seen Kanye twice. I saw Kanye for Yeezus, and then I saw Kanye go Watch the Throne with Jay-Z. And when I tell you, the nigga is a fucking amazing, like, iconic superstar.
Yeah.
And for Yeezus, when I tell you, I was so fucking scared because the way the stage was transformed. Like, nigga, I'm at the Lion King, at the Fox Theater, nigga. What is going on? This shit was top notch. Like, when the nigga transitioned through his songs, like, it's so dramatic. Like, it tells a story. Like, the aesthetics and the visuals are just, like, fucking phenomenal. I'm just like, yo, I want to get that phenomenal. Like,
Kanye West, amazing, man.
To the point where I want to make, like, content as phenomenal as, like, Kanye West. But, you know, I'm not rapping, like, because, you know, I'm not a rapper. I can rap, for sure, for sure. But I'm not a fucking rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to make good content. Like, great content. You know, like, being great is something that's, like, very, like, crucial to, like, my mind. That's why Kanye is, like, so important. When you talk about Kanye coming out, like, and then, like,
I cried.
You talk about Chance. That's, like, greatness affirming greatness in somebody else. And, like, how important that is to affirm, like, someone else's greatness, you know, often. And, you know, I know you got a meeting that's going to happen at 9. So I wanted to, like, affirm, you know, your greatness. You know what I'm saying? Your greatness as a person who creates content. And develops and gives people platforms to either, like, speak their mind or express, you know, their passion or what they're going on, or to reach other people. So I don't know if you understand how important that is. Even if you do understand, I wanted to stress that to you, that that's like one of the most important things you can ever do for somebody is give somebody an opportunity. And that's what's, like, you're giving somebody is that opportunity. And so I wanted to affirm your greatness as somebody who provides opportunities to people who may not have that in the first place. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, that was so beautiful. No problem. Oh, that was so beautiful. Like, that, thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, man, I'm trying. I try. Hey, I make it, we all make it, you know?
Yeah, I swear. Everybody eats beef. When that nigga fucking Mitch and fucking Rico and everybody was at everybody the table, and they're like, no rips, no champagne, no shrimp fried rice. He's like, hold on, ladies, let me hold $5,000. And the nigga threw that nigga. He didn't throw the nigga $5,000. But that's a total
different. But everybody eats beef.
Everybody eats beef. That's what I'm gonna, you know, we might title this shit Everybody Eats.
Everybody eats.
Everybody eats.
I like that.
The Hot Box. Everybody eats.
Yeah. Make sure y'all listen to the Hot Box each and every Wednesday night from 10 p.m. to midnight at falconradio.org.
Give me the social media.
And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at 2__legit. That's TWO__legit.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I had so much fun. I'm about to go cook these greens.
House Husbands 2K17.
It's 2K17. 2K forever.